Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon me. We just can't let Satan win. And I'm having trouble with my throat. But we're going to continue on. Now, this morning, we was in chapter 3. But we didn't finish. In fact, we did not get very far. So we're going to see if we can finish up with that. I won't be holding you long here tonight. But we do want to finish with chapter 3. Because, God willing, come Thursday night, we've got another awful good service coming up. But there's still yet a lot to take in here with the remainder of chapter 3. And you know, we need to be doing all we can do to praise the Lord and to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for all He has done for you and I. We really don't take enough time to give Him enough praise and enough thanks for all He did. Most people only look at Him as forgiving their sin. But you know, He's a lot more than that. And He paid an awful dear price for you and I. Salvation will only come through Him. Our healing comes through Him. We're told in God's Word that we are healed by His stripes. You know, these are things that we need to really be thinking about, that actually we don't. But you know, there's going to be coming a day where you and I, we're going to stand before him. And things then will be too late to make any changes or for any confessions. But you know, hundreds of years before the Father sent him to earth as a babe, you and I were told about him. We were told how he was coming, what he was coming for, what was going to happen to him, or a lot of it. And all of that we have forgotten. In Isaiah 53, we're told that he was wounded for our transgressions. Those wounds was put there by a cat of nine tails, strips of leather to make a whip out of. With pieces of metal and glass to tear the hide when used. Forty-one legs with him was considered to bring death. And he was given 39, just short of that death sentence. But he put on death another way, didn't he? In Isaiah 53, verse 5, it tells us just exactly. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Most of us, when we pray for healing, don't even stop and think about where it's coming from and why it is available. Because we don't want to go to church. We don't want to spend time in prayer. We don't want to spend time in God's Word. And most especially, if it is something that's getting in our way of what we want and want to do with the time. Well, God's Word warns us that you have a choice to either serve him or to serve the ways of this world out here. And walk with the with Satan, the prince of this world. Now, there's more to that. I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm going to try to get back in to chapter 3 of Galatians. We're just going to start with verse by verse. I read it all this morning. And hopefully, we can all remember most of what you said this morning. Verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Here, because Paul's main concern for this church of Galatia there was those that were following him, trying to tear him and his ministry apart and down and bring the people back under law. And it was causing a lot of problems in Paul's day and time. And it is still causing problems today in our day and time. And it seems like we just cannot get man to understand that if you keep the law in one point for a religious reason, you are then to keep all of the law. They wasn't and couldn't do it. So what makes you think you are going to? When you don't even know what most of it was. And there was a lot to keeping the law. A lot of ceremonies and things that we don't even think of today. We're told here in God's word that those that don't continually walk and fulfill all things which are written in the book of the law. And now it goes on down 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We're being let know here that you and I cannot live by the law. We are not to live by the law. And we'll not be justified by the law in the sight of God. We are to walk in faith. There are several things in the scripture we are told to walk by and in. One is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to walk by and in and through him. And we are to walk in the Spirit. And we are to do that by walking in faith. Because you see, it takes that faith to be pleasing unto God. And that's why a lot of times we get a chastisement upon us, because we let things go that we shouldn't let go. Now, it may not have actually brought sin in our lives or upon us, but it will bring punishment that only the Lord our God can take care of. But we have to first straighten out those errors in the way we walk. And as we were talking this morning about walking, in discipline, I don't know very many today that are really living a God-filled, disciplined life. And yet, we're told in God's Word what will happen if we don't. Because we must have the Lord Jesus first in our lives. He will not take second place to no one or to nothing. So if you receive a punishment, start searching and looking to find out what brought it on. Because it will have to be straightened out. And it could be many things as we walk through this life. It could be family members. It could be friends. It could be your work that keeps you from living a disciplined life. But whatever it is, if you want to make heaven your home, you better get rid of it. Now, he told us there in verse 11, the just shall live by faith. 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You see, we've got to live by faith, not by law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one at that time period, and the only one that had lived his whole life without sin in it. And he was doing so for 30 years as a man, just like you and I. You see, that first 30 years, he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. We know the Father watched him, yes. But we know that he kept everything that the Father would ask of him. Right up to the point of becoming a living sacrifice for you and I. And before taking on the curse of being nailed to that cross, he had been stoned. He had been beaten almost to death. Been beaten so bad, really, that he couldn't carry his cross all the way. He had to have another to finish carrying it for him. And yet he was willing to take on our curse can be, as the scripture puts it, hung on that tree. Didn't belong to him. It was ours. So what little trouble comes to you in order for you to go to church and to spend time in prayer and in his word with him? That little trouble is nothing. It will bring you peace, comfort, and joy. And it's the only thing that will. Now, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We know that Abraham is the father of faith. We know that it was promised to him by God for his seed. And if you are to be born again and become a child of the living God, then you are also of the family of Abraham. That's according to God's word, not mine. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul or addeth thereunto. Not only that promise, but any promise that God has made in this Bible to you and I cannot be changed. It cannot be added to or taken away from. And yet we have so many out here today doing that very, very thing. But God has made you and I promise after promise after promise. And he will keep his promise if you will walk according to his word, walk it in faith with all of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that the Holy Spirit is at work in you. And we know that because God's word told us so. Jesus told mankind even before he left this earth. He said, I go back to the Father to send the Comforter to you. If I go not back, the Comforter will not be sent. Because you see, he was sending you and I that same Holy Spirit that he received while he was here on this earth at the age of 30 when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Now you and I are to be baptized differently, which we've been into several times. I'm not going there right now because we all know different. And we all know why it's different. But so many is still trying to bring you back under the law. Because you see, if you really believe that, and that's the way you are living, That's what you are. You are moving back under the law, because that John's baptism was for repentance under the law. You and I are to live by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ under the New Testament that is of his blood. We have something that the law was just a shadow of. We're told that in the book of Hebrews. Now, 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to his seeds, plural, as to many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. He made that promise. The Father did. To Abraham. Because you see, even Christ being born here on this earth in the flesh also walked as a child of God. He walked as God's son. He was also in the family of Abraham. He was his seed that God had made that promise to. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. You heard me talking just a little earlier about it can't be annulled, can't be added to or anything. Because you see, when we do that, the Word tells us here that it should make the promise of none effect. When we add to these promises and make them into other things, we have actually made them of none effect for ourselves. Now, not for others. Others that will walk in them. Others that will keep them and keep them as they're made, they'll still work. But it's what we do for ourselves. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. A promise is a covenant between God and those he has made that promise to. You and I living today, born again children of Almighty God, those promises that God made to you and I are also a covenant. Think about it. They are a covenant between us and God. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now the law, as we're being told there in 19, can neither save nor can it annul that Abrahamic covenant. To what purpose did it serve? You see, it was added alongside the covenant because of transgressions That is to reveal the hideous evil character of man's sin. Think about this. The law laid down the divine standard. When man overstepped it, he became guilty of transgressions. But the law to the Abraham covenant is seen, actually, when we see that in several different ways. Because the law was added after the covenant and thus was subordinate to it. And the law was temporary, being in effect only until that seed, Jesus Christ, should come. And unlike the covenant God gave directly to Abraham, the law was ordained, handed down directly by God through angels to its mediator, Moses. That's how it was handed down. Most of us have been under the impression that that promise to Abraham was done in person by God. But it wasn't. It was done through angels. God using angels to bring that to Moses, the law. Now, we know that we've been told there that it was handed down. And then 21 says, is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But you see, the law can't do that. That's why they had to keep the whole law. They had to keep it all, which they were not doing. 22, but the scripture has concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now you see, for you and I, there was a promise given to us by faith of Jesus Christ. For all of us that would believe. 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. And we know that it was. When Christ came to this earth and spent 33 and a half years here, 30 years walking as man, 3.5 years in his ministry, doing whatever God would ask him to do, and knowing we all that do know those things know what a terrible price was paid so that you and I could have life through eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You know, back in that day and time, the schoolmaster was the family slave who led a boy to and from school. Why don't you stop and think about this? And was overseeing his conduct. He was one that would teach him a lot of things in like manner. And the law is what pointed out our sin and led us to Christ, who alone can put away sin. And he is the only one that can do it. We have now here the praise to the saints. They pray to Jesus, Mother Mary. None of them can give you anything because of your prayer. Now, 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. No, because you see, now you and I are under the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He is our teacher. He is our guide. He is our comforter. He is the one that gives us the power and the authority to do the things that God wants us to do. He's also the one that will tell us what it is that God wants from each of us. That's why we are told in the Word of God, the only sin you can't be forgiven for is if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. Now, 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And you see, I told you. When you really want to check out about baptism, find out really and truly how to stand and how to have things done, if you go to Acts 2:38, chapter 2, verse 38, it tells you what the plan of salvation is. And then tells you how to be baptized. The sixth chapter of Romans tells you what is happening to you as you are baptized in Jesus' name. Now, these next couple of verses, we'll be closing for the evening. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Depending on how you walk through this life. You know, that gives you now the logic outcome about the Galatians having put on Christ and being the sons of God. And God views them all the same. It doesn't matter whether they're Gentile or Jew. They are all looked on by God. God views them all the same. We are all one as his sons. Think about it. This is why we are also to support, to pray for, and to support God's people, Israel, because we have become a part of it when we become a born-again child of God. We'll be closing with this next short verse. And if there be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, we have become heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with him. And we can receive what he has. Think about it. That's God's word, not mine. This is why we need to be in the Bible so greatly, till we can learn and walk in faith by grace, putting our trust, all of our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I do thank you for a place to where I can come to share this word and my support with others that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to fill this church, this place. It stands with so many seats open that needs to be filled. Give us the guidance, Father, the knowledge of what to do and how to do in order to see his full, so that we can be a help in bringing others to the Lord Jesus Christ to become your children. Now, Father, for your saints wherever they are in the world, we pray the Holy Spirit will keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And Father, Jerusalem and Israel, they have no peace, Father, very little. But we are praying for them, Father, for peace to come to them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, I pray, Father, now for this land to come awake. We are in need of a revival, Father. And most especially a revival within our government. I pray, Father, for this soul, that this land and our government will repent for the evil it has brought upon its people and for the evil the people have accepted as being truth. And they're standing by, saying nothing about it. And Father, we know that if something is not done, we are losing our land. And we will lose the freedom that we have. But Father, help us come this election day to remove those from office that are against the church, against Jesus, that has took him out of everywhere he was, and replace them with those that will work for the church, work for Jesus, and help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them, touch them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, financial, or physical. Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, James Taylor, Dennis Lee, myself, all of our families, our wives, our children, our aunts, all of our family, Father, pray for each and every one of them, that they will all come to the knowledge of knowing that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that none be lost. Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, brothers in Christ, Aaron Brandenburg. Father, be with each one of them. Holy Spirit, work with them. Bring them all closer and stronger to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to fulfill whatever need they have. Pastor Randy Johnson, the Church of God of Brandenburg, Brother Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little full gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. But not only lighthouses, make them places of refuge that are filled with the Spirit of Almighty God, to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find the light, which is Jesus Christ, and their lives be saved, and that they can have life through eternity with Jesus. My three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. The Johnson family, that whole family, Father, standing in need of the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide them, to fulfill their needs, to bring them to knowledge that they all need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. They all need to be in church. Now, Father, Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo, her mother, Sue and David, Kay Lynch Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, Karen. Father, these all stand in need of thy healing hand. Touch all, Father, that will hear this message, and all that will look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them, Father, with that mighty hand of healing. I'm asking, Father, for that healing to be done, to bring them closer, stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ, and use them in great and mighty ways. Bring more into the church. Bring them all in to find Jesus, to fill up God's house. Jesus went back to prepare a place for us. Let's not let him down. And Father, I'm asking all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, all. Don't forget, God willing, we can all be together again come Thursday evening. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have some good days, some good nights in the study of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. Good night, all.